This was when we had this special event. This was something I had hanging in the dining room, and I still have it. If you want it, I can email things over to you. If you want my notes from today, I can email them over to you. I actually put a lot on the computer. When you woke this morning, what did you think about this? When you woke this morning, were the first thoughts that came to your mind of your eternal destiny from God, or fate from the enemy of your soul? Most of humanity do not realize that from the day they were born, there were two plans mapped out for their lives. One from God Almighty, and one from their adversary, the devil. The outcome of our future hangs in the balance of our daily decisions in life. Are they destined by God, or fatalistic demise from the devil? Destiny is the predetermined course of events God has planned for each man that will bring them into lifetime blessings and eternal rewards. Fate are circumstances that befall man as a result of choices made outside of the perfect will of God Almighty. Our destinies from God are divinely linked with other believers' destinies. Look around this room. Just look around. And ask the Lord this question. Is my destiny linked with everyone in this room? Our associations in life are so vital if we are to fulfill our destiny in God. May you leave here tonight with greater clarity of your future destiny or fate. The choice is truly left up to each one of us and no other. It will be determined based on our associations, our influences, an environment, and the true fitting of a holy armed soldier of Christ. I remember I had given one because Kristen Hellman was here that night when we had that dinner, and she had it hanging in her home in Santa Monica, and Miriam was out for some meeting, and Miriam was reading it, and she said, "Who wrote?" And I told her about our dinner, where everybody got a chess game, everybody had their crowns on. We even prayed for the men. We had swords for the men. But the Lord said, it's time to talk to the people again. Some weren't there. About the destiny that God has. Though it is your destiny, there are specific things that each one of you have to do while you're here. It is God's destiny. He destined that this earth would establish His will, and He chose us to partner with Him. And let me tell you, it can only be done through a partnership. It cannot be done outside of a partnership with God. The title of today's message is The God of Your Destiny. Years ago, when I had the dream that I did for the ministry that God had commissioned through Leaders After God's Heart, and you can read it on the website. There were things that are still unfolding to this day, just from that dream. I go back and I read it and I think about it. One thing that I happened to say as I was reading it again, that I do remember, was that there was water under the bridge. if you've ever heard that term, water under the bridge. And so I've heard people use, well, that's water under the bridge. What does that mean?
Passed you by. It's not the con.
All right. One thing that I do remember in being on the bridge is that it was man-made. That has struck with me. When man tries to create his own destiny, he will fail. And the water under the bridge is, all right, it's past, it's over with. Your fallen state's over with. What you did that was out of the will of God is over with. It's water under the bridge. So he said, are you willing to go across these denominational lines and business lines and governmental lines and bring the repair? What's the repair? It's not a man-made repair. It's to bring people into the God-ordained repair for their lives so they can answer their destined call. Isn't that amazing? You were brought here for such a time as this. We say that, but has it ever really penetrated that he chose to bring you here at this time? A few nights ago, John and I were like twirling in bed, twirling, and we're like getting up, getting down. And I was like, what is this, Lord? And all I wanted to do was pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues. So I got up and I went into my office. And I began to pray in tongues, and I knew I was praying Chinese. And as I was praying in tongues, I had a vision. And it was a vision of a woman who had come to this very ministry in the very, very beginning, who was being called to China, which Maureen and Terry went to China with her group. As I was praying in tongues, so this is tongues and interpretation. The Holy Spirit doesn't just give you something without giving you some kind of insight into what you're praying about. And each one will be unique. But as I was praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit was giving me the interpretation, I saw this woman in China shaped like a pitcher. Not a pitcher that you all were talking about, but shaped like kind of an old-fashioned pitcher. P-I-T-C-H-E-R. And the Spirit of God, try to be really quiet because the Spirit of God's talking. The Spirit of God was pouring oil in this pitcher, which was this person. And he filled this person with so much oil of the Spirit that I saw the oil spilling out of her and pouring upon those that she would be ministering to in the nation of China. And that she was going to be used to bring such tremendous joy. Now, after I had this experience with the Holy Spirit, I remember when she came here to this ministry, she came with Lynn Reeb. I don't know how many of you remember Lynn Reeb. Okay. And Lynn brought her here saying, you need to come here before you go to China and have Lisa pray for you. And she's like, well, I don't usually do these things. But anyway, she came. And I prayed for her, and she went off to China. And who would have ever thought that Terry and Maureen would end up in China with her ministering? Now, they know what China's like because they've been to China. And I thought it was so ironic that the Holy Spirit was pouring out of the Spirit and bringing such joy. And I was not only just speaking in tongues that I knew was Chinese, I was singing in tongues. And when she had come here, she had said to Lynn that she was so powerfully touched, she said, I've never been touched like that before. And God's been using her powerfully in China since. So I thought, is there any way I can find her? And I found her through Lynn's Facebook. And I sent her a message. I don't know how often she's on, but I sent her a message of what had happened in the Spirit. Regardless of whether she gets it or not, the Holy Spirit is doing it. Mm-hmm. The intercessors.
Mm-hmm. I may have her email address.
But it's amazing because this ministry is always, the Lord said, has never been about me. It's been about His body fulfilling their commission. And we're all intertwined in some way, shape, or form, whether we're to work together closely here, whether we're apart like she is in another country. Because I remember one time that her friend Lynn that brought her here was in, where was she? It was in a South American country when I had a dream and I was ministering to her in the dream. And I knew exactly what was happening. Children were actually dying. And I remember typing it all out. And I sent it to her. And she said, oh my gosh, Lisa, everything you're saying has been happening here. But I began to twirl her. And the Spirit of God just picked her up in like a whirlwind. And she was actually very instrumental in being used powerfully in that nation to recover things. It's an amazing day. You know, for us that are getting ready to go to Israel, I know that there will be people here that will have, if they will yield to the Holy Spirit, He will use them in a very significant way. Those of us that are there, first time I went to Israel, I got a very prophetic song about the watchman on the wall while I was in Tiberias. So it is really, as Miriam has been sharing, and I may during dinner play something that she's just talked about, the nation of Syria and talking about Damascus, and I don't want to even try to repeat everything that she's saying. I just let you catch it. I may just play that during dinner. It's not real long. So the God of our destiny. It's so important that we know our destiny, that we know why we're here, and that it unfolds. If you don't think you know it all and you just know what you need to be doing now, then do what you need to be doing. But God will unfold it. But it really does matter who you're around, how it is unfolded. So, we all have a destiny. But you may need to, like the water under the bridge in that dream that God gave, you may have to let some things in the past go. Remember something. The old never agrees with the new. When God gives you a new tongue and a new work and a new ministry and a new move, it never agrees with the old. It doesn't mean that there wasn't agreement when you were there. It just means that the work that you have is new and fresh, and you don't ever want to mix. I was sharing, was it at the prayer meeting, where I was talking about a quilt that I have, and it's all different fabrics, and my grandma helped me make it. Maybe I'll pull it out at dinner and you can see. And I had to eventually wash it because I'd used it so much, and when I did, some of the squares shrunk. See, the old didn't agree with this new washing I was giving it. And I'll tell you, there are some old thinkings that are in people that will not agree with the new, and you have to let it go. And that means you quit dwelling on the past. The what I didn't do, what I should have done, you just let it go. So how do we really come into these new phases of our destiny with God, which is really His destiny that we're partnering with? The first step, because I know we have people here at different levels, is to step into the place of being rebuilt as a person. Truly, when people come into the kingdom of God and they really have had a born-again experience, they know they're not the same person. They're not the same. They don't live there anymore. And depending on how deeply your initial immersion was into the kingdom of God, your physical appearance may dramatically change at first too. But being rebuilt means coming into knowing your covenant. And I don't just mean knowing it in your head. I mean knowing it in experiences, whether it's health, whether it's your provision to fulfill this destiny, whether it's your endurance, revelation knowledge. We talked yesterday about what do we need to pray for one another for in this ministry. Whether it's reproducing, you know, some people, they're young, they're not married yet, maybe they want to have a family. And the Lord brought me back to when I preached a message, and I'm going to give you each a sheet, called The University of the Holy Spirit. I don't even want to try to re-preach that, but it definitely was a great understanding of how the Holy Spirit matures us. So to be rebuilt means you have to go through every one of these courses with the Holy Spirit, and even those that I haven't even listed here. You have to be immersed, because your destiny from God will only be as developed as you are. He's got it all, and there's nothing more frustrating than to see and have a vision or a dream and to see that and not know what to do and realize that in my own dream, God actually had a person in the dream that would be instrumental in helping me in taking these courses, so to speak. Think about the apostles that would have visitations, whether it was to go to Cornelius and his family, whether it was the man in Macedonia. They were sent to help them fulfill their own destiny. Whether it was first to come into the kingdom of God, whether it was to help bring their whole family into the kingdom, like Cornelius. I mean, think about that. He was a devout man. He was open. And not only did he come in, but his whole family all at the same time. How many of you had that happen when you came into the kingdom of God? So there was something in him that could receive. So take one of these, pass it on, and what I believe the Lord wants you to do when you go home is to ask him, what are you working on in me? What have you wanted to work on in me that maybe I have not yielded to?
What do you have to do?
And show me the way to proceed. A lot of times we don't go to the next step because we don't know the kind of questions to ask the Lord. Sometimes you have to even say, Lord, what's the question? Just like when we shared at our prayer meeting that sometimes you even have to ask the Lord, am I supposed to pray about this? Sometimes he doesn't want us to touch certain things. All right, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. What does that mean? That means Paul had revealed to him his destiny. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. How many of you want all the spiritual blessings that he has ordained for you? All of them. All of them. In heavenly places in Christ. Let me tell you, you will not get them in a man-made place. You will only get them out of heaven by the Holy Spirit. Whether it's through another individual, it still has to come from heaven. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So when did he choose you? Our calls are holy. Some of you saw in my photo that I'd taken my granddaughter, just had her for a day, and so we went over to the 99-cent store, and I said, Hannah, what do you want? Just, you know, Grandma wants to bless you, and she decided she wanted a costume. Now, my kids love dressing up. I never celebrated October 31st, but I let them dress up, because a lot of times we're experimenting as children to say, who do we want to be in life? Well, she chose the angel outfit. And Sarah, come here, I want you to be my model. This isn't Hannah's. Hannah took hers home. Sarah. Okay, Sarah. Sarah works with children, so I know that she loves stuff like this. She knows that children are dreaming, aren't they, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Hannah put this on, and we'll put your little halo on you. It was so cute. I know. Yes, you can take a picture of mine. It was so precious because I have a little book about angels that I read to my children. So Hannah was on one of these little exercise balls back in the back of the house with this little outfit on, and she's like this, bouncing on it, and the little halo is like going like this, and she's reading me the story about the angels and how they're given by gifts. But with your destiny comes at least one angel. And I don't think people think about this. Angels are a higher creation than us. Mm-hmm. Higher meaning they have higher powers than us. In Ephesians, we're going to read today about the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And a lot of times we think about it all in an evil manner. But God has ranks of angels to do different works. And one is for her work, for Debbie's work, for Ruby, Irene, for every single one of you. Your child, from the day he was born. Some kids don't know what to do. They may see their angel. My son saw, and I love to share this because it really profoundly touched me when he was in kindergarten. And he saw a little boy hanging upside down on the monkey bars. And he goes, Mom, I just saw this. Now, this is a six-year-old telling me, Mom, I saw this angel holding his leg so he wouldn't fall on the ground. I was like, whoa. That was just one of many. But what does this mean? What does the halo mean? You know, we see halos. We see sometimes pictures of Jesus with like a halo over him. What does that mean?
The glory of God. The glory.
When something is holy, that means it has been separated from all impurity. Separated to do nothing but holy work. So the angels of God that have been given to each one of us have been separated to do a holy work for us. And as we are separated unto God, we align with that holiness. I remember when my son was in kindergarten, I know you probably don't even want to take this off, but but the picture says it all, doesn't it? I had somebody talking to me once, and they said, Lisa, there's light all around you. What was that? That was the Spirit of God revealing to the person that I have been separated. Maybe they didn't know fully what that meant, because they were raised Catholic, so there was a separation. They knew that I was separated from whatever they were brought up with. This was not the same. So there is a separation when you first enter your destiny through salvation. There is a separation that begins. He will separate you from everything that was not separated to him. Everything. Everything. You know, some of us have spring cleaning. He does the heart cleaning. Everything. Your motives for everything. Your desires. That's why sometimes people can say, I had no idea he was going to take me into this. It was not even a thought in my mind. The least likely. Why? Because there was something in my thinking that was not even trying to comprehend being used in a way that he wanted to use me. Before the foundation of the world. Have you ever really thought about that? Before the foundation of the world, he knew you were coming here. And he had a specific work for you to do while you're here. Go down to verse 18. This is a great prayer to pray for yourself. It's a great prayer to pray for others, as the Holy Spirit leads you to do so. And I'm going to tell you, it's important that the Holy Spirit lead it. And I'll share why in a moment. Let's start with verse 17, sorry. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, say this with me, far above all principality and power.